You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, kicking off this week is a very good analogy to use because I do want to talk about sport.
Yes.
Not a sport that involves kicking anything.
Doesn't
or
it?
So I thought until I saw this story.
Okay, right.
So Simo, a professional go-kart driver, his name is Luca Carberry.
Right. He's a professional go-kart racer and he's got car in his name?
Yes.
Okay.
I look at it now, it's C-O-R, technically, but you know
okay,
what?
Okay, he's missed a trick there.
I know.
Should have gone into F1s.
I'm not an expert on it, but I think it's not just I might just go drive F1 cars. I think there's a bit of you have to be good.
Yeah, but go-karting and F1's very similar.
Well, I mean, yes, but in many ways they're also not.
Yeah, well, this bigger engine, a bit quicker.
But Simo, did you see this footage over the weekend? Because I saw it yesterday morning and
no.
It was like everywhere.
Not a clue. Don't know anything about it.
So this guy, Luca Carberry, he was racing and he crashed out. Now, he's fine. He wasn't injured or anything like that. No one was injured in the story.
Hmm.
But he crashed out and was not happy with perhaps another race car driver who had perhaps caused the crash.
Oh, I've had an issue like that with my younger brother. Rammed like his go-kart straight into the back of me. I was like, oh, I was very angry.
To be fair, whenever I go and do like social go-kart racing, I do that all the time. It's so much fun.
Oh, dear.
But when it's professional like this, you've got it because they're going quite quick. Get up to like 150 kilometres an hour or something.
It's more about the race than you go dodge them. You should go dodge them cars if you want to go
exactly.
And crash into people.
Or just play a video game or something like that.
That too.
So this guy, after being crashed out, the bumper had come off his go-kart. So he decided to pick it up. Walk to the side of the racetrack while the race was still on. So cars are flying past at like 100, 150 kilometres an hour. He's just standing there at the side of the road waiting for this guy who's crashed him off to come back round.
Yeah.
He's holding his bumper, sees him coming in the distance, and just throws the bumper at the other racer as he's driving past.
Okay.
It was the most crazy thing like I've ever seen.
What was his punishment? Did he get Did they wave a certain flag at him? Because I know that happens in racing.
Yeah. I don't know if there is. I know there's a yellow flag for a safety car.
That's right.
I don't know what colour flag is. There's an angry racing driver throwing stuff at other cars.
It'd be a red flag,
bring
I
out the magenta flag.
That's a prime red flag scenario.
It's a very...
Red flag.
It would have to be an aggressive red colour.
Yeah, big time.
It was a rubbish throw by this guy throwing the bumper because he missed.
Right.
I mean, I have to put it out there.
So I'm glad that he missed, considering they're going pretty quick floating by.
Definitely. Mm. And then even after the race, when he finished, he started this guy, Luca Carboni, he started the brawl in the pit lane as
well. Wow. They're very passionate about their go-karting.
So he's an angry, angry man.
Right. Good.
I think it's safe to say.
Fair enough.
And he will never be racing karts ever again because he's been banned for life.
Really? That was the punishment?
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to say, there must be some kind of fallout from it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Not only has he been banned for life, I assume he has to now pay for a brand new bumper for the kart because, I mean, he threw that at someone else.
That's going to give ideas to WWE because you know how normally they come flying out of the... they've got their entrances and things like that.
Yeah.
That they've got like, oh, it's who is... Who is this? Oh, it is...
You're trying to think of a name.
It's Warsaw! And here he comes, he's got a chair! But this time now to be like, he's got a piece of a go-kart.
Well, maybe this guy's not... He's never going to drive go-karts again because he's been banned. Maybe WWE is the future career for him.
Simo and Jordan.
And we have been exploring vast deserts and digging through the very earth that we live on, Jordan.
Well, me and you.
Yeah, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of stuff that has been dug up. Have you noticed?
No.
I've been watching a lot of documentaries about, you know, digging up ancient stuff.
Okay.
You know, so in Germany the other week, they uncovered a huge necropolis, which had like a bronze cauldron and like...
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, dead bodies surrounding it.
Isn't
and all
there
kinds
like a
of...
dead cow or something in there from like 200 years ago?
Yep. There was cattle, horses, human beings, the whole works. So that particular lord of Germany, obviously pretty important. Now I bring to you over the weekend, Jordan, get around this, right? More than 2,600 years since they were buried, archaeologists in Egypt found at least 59 ancient coffins. This is south of Cairo, mind you, the capital. And one of them contains the pristine mummy of an ancient priest.
Okay. Magic, magic,
magic. So 2,600 years for the magical priest that they have uncovered.
I don't know. Is he magical?
Well, he's a priest. He's from, and he's still, his body is still available to be witnessed.
Would you want to, though?
Well, I've seen them. I've seen them pull the sarcophagus. Like they've actually cracked it open.
Hopefully, they use more technical terms than that.
No, that's the archaeologist's terminology.
Yeah, just crack it open.
Crack it open. Well, let's have a bit of a look.
Yeah,
because there's so much that goes on. You got to be careful of all like the fumes and stuff. Because a human body eroding over that long.
Yes, I imagine it wouldn't smell. Need to get some Lynx Africa in the room just to kind of air it out a little bit.
Lynx Cairo, new fragrance. Straight from the mummy priest.
Look, probably not going to purchase that if Lynx do bring that out.
Look, everything's marketing.
Mm. But no, so what? So they found what was in this? So there was the magical, whether it's magical or not, priest. Yep. What else did they find in there?
So they've got the canopic jars as well. Do you know what those are?
No. Nah.
All right, so canopic jars, Jordan. The jars of which, before you get mummified, they will take those inner organs, so things like your heart, your lungs, your liver,
and
they will put them in little jars which have, like, you know, a wolf's head on top or maybe, like, a parrot head or whatever's kind of going at the time.
And then do they have another jar for the parrot's heart and lungs and the wolf's lungs?
No, that's just the...
No, that just gets discarded.
That's the sculpture of the canopic jar.
Okay.
So. However, one thing they would never store or typically won't store is brain matter, so I don't know what that's about.
All right.
Yeah, they'll leave that intact.
So you brought up kind of these mummy-related stories. I think this is the third time in the last
Big
3 weeks.
Isn't it interesting?
I can tell that you're very interested in this, and don't get me wrong, very happy for you, by all means.
Mm.
I'm sure this is very interesting. By all means, have fun. I just think, why?
Other artifacts, at least 28 statues were found in two deep wells. This is according to the Ministry of Cairo over there. And now they have a completely intact mummy that's like unseen for ages.
Mm.
Ooh, freaky.
I'm just going to wait until the Indiana Jones documentary on this one comes out and then I'll get involved.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, it was a long weekend and the clocks changed as well.
I had changed the big one at home on the wall.
Oh, did you?
Very large clock.
Yeah.
Very large. Took two hands. As opposed to changing a clock with one.
I know. Honestly, Simo, you idiot. I can just change it with one.
Yeah. Change it with my feet.
Well, maybe in 6 months' time when they change, that can be a challenge. You just change the clock with one hand and your right foot.
What I meant was it was the wingspan. Like, it was definitely at my full wingspan.
How big clock is it? Like a massive old grandfather clock, I think they're called.
Yeah, like very large clock. One of those ones that sits up on the wall but has got, it's got a girth. It's got much width to it.
I hate those, because my mum's house, I think she's still got it, but like growing up, we had one of those clocks.
Yeah.
And like whenever you go to change it, you'd kind of look at the kind of hook on the wall. You'd look at where, you know, the hook goes into the back of the clock. Yeah. You'd kind of go, all right, so there we go. So that'll just go there. And then you never get it right.
Yes.
It takes about 5 goes of just scraping the clock up and down the wall.
Yep.
Just in the hope that it'll catch onto the hook.
I know it well.
And then it does, and it's like, that's not going to stay there. That's going to fall off.
So it's funny that you say that, because like with this massive clock at home, so I live with a couple of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They were away for the long weekend.
Yeah.
So I've changed the clock. And the
good using
the,
initiative, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just left it.
The outer edge of this massive clock, definitely couldn't find the spot where it's supposed to go back up on the hook.
Yeah.
So it's definitely hanging by a thread on one of the spots.
Is it like crooked? Is it like diagonal? It's not 12 at the top, it's 1 at the top.
It's in Roman numerals, can't tell.
Put it on upside down, no one will notice.
Not a clue.
But Simo, the reason I bring up clocks and clocks changing is because I didn't have to change one of those clocks. All of mine changed automatically. I don't want to sound posh.
Yep, you are being controlled by the internet.
But you know, like your phone nowadays changes automatically without you having to do anything.
Yep.
Same with the laptop. The car is the interesting one.
Oh, yes, the car buttons.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Because I've got two clocks in my car.
What? All right.
One on the dashboard, one on the little sat-nav thing.
Are they synced?
No.
That's odd.
And for my entire time I've had the car, I've known how to change the sat-nav clock.
Right.
But I can't work out how to do the dashboard one.
Oh, dear. Well, it's like, say, my clock on the dashboard.
Hmm.
I just leave it consistently wrong for half the year because then it's half, at least half right half the time. Is that?
Well, no, because that's what I do as well. Our mums would not be proud of us this morning.
Well, you know.
But I kind of live my life 6 months going, okay, so that clock, because I know how to change the one on the sat nav, but I don't. I leave that. Yeah. I leave that an hour different to
Absolutely.
The one on the dashboard.
Yeah.
So I kind of know. I'm like, which one's the time? Is it the dashboard or the sat nav? So over the weekend, we went from sat-nav back to dashboard. It was a proud moment.
you actually do have access to the right time.
I've got access to two times. I just need to try and remember which one is right.
That's brilliant.
I know.
Yeah, that's great.
Saves me changing over the clocks. And in 6 months' time, I will move back to the other one.
All right. So, no, I just need to remember if it's half an hour in front or if it's perfectly on time.
I thought you were going to say, I just need to remember if ever I'm stealing your car, just know which clock to go for.
Yeah, so that's... I am pleased for you. That's brilliant.
I know. I mean, like I said, my mum's probably not. She's probably cursing, going, Jordan, why are you so lazy? Just change it. It takes 30 seconds. And to that I say, I know.
Well, I reckon you could probably just claim that as a stroke of genius, really. Because now,
no, I don't think I can. It's 100% a stroke of laziness.
Because you can just be like, look, I did this once, and now I have access to the right time all year round.
Look, I think we're learning why I dropped out of an arts degree at uni.
Simo and Jordan.
So Victorian animal shelters and breeders have seen a significant rise in demand for dogs and puppies since the breakout of COVID-19. It's worth mentioning as well. RSPCA has recorded 26,000 applications for dogs.
So is those people who want dogs? That's is that what it is?
That's for adoptions, yeah.
Wow, okay.
So huge numbers.
Yeah.
Tracking super high. And I was thinking, oh, gosh, I really wish I could find the perfect pet for Jordan. Something that would just really work for you.
Is it nothing? Because that would be the perfect pet.
Alrighty, I bring to you now the living, breathing, wish-granting cat.
I want it!
And look at it as well. It's so lazy. It's going to suit you well.
Yeah, so Simo, you've got a picture there on your screen I can see.
That's right.
Of a cat yelling on some yellow fabric.
Its name is Vincent.
Okay.
Right? It is a Scottish fold cat. And it'll cost you a small fortune, unfortunately. That's
okay.
The main thing holding us back, Jordan, is the price.
And the fact if it's in Scotland, I think how many flights around at the moment.
Oh, no, it's a Scottish cat in Russia. Okay,
oh, so, well, therefore it's easy.
And it's magical. So it's quite expensive.
Yes.
$127,000.
Magical Scottish/Russian cats normally are.
However, during COVID-19 and the lockdowns and the social isolation, I'm saying magic cat... probably got a lot to offer.
Look, just well, before I do spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
How much is it, by the way, do you know?
$127,000.
Oh, okay. Well, before I spend $127,000 on this cat.
Yeah.
Magical.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Okay, so the woman who is selling the cat, her name is Elena. She discovered her cat's wishing-granting powers by accident, but has since tested its effectiveness 3 times.
They do drink a lot of vodka in Russia, don't they?
With impressive results, mind you. She now wants to share its magic with others.
So what do you know what it... So she tested the magic cat. How?
What do you mean? Granted some wishes.
Yeah, what wishes? Okay. Did she close her eyes, want a Ferrari, and then all of a sudden it was there?
So Elena goes on to say, it only works with the owners. I discovered his ability completely by accident. It's like, how would you find it out on purpose? Do you test all your cats?
Testing all my pets. Come on, lizard, get me a Ferrari.
What are the lotto numbers? So she goes on to say, I needed an apartment, and somehow I told Vincent for fun. Fulfill my wish, Vincent. And literally the next day I realised that everything would come true. You immediately feel that events are starting to take shape as they should. And a month later, I already had an apartment.
After she'd paid for it. Which is how it happens.
It's probably why she's selling the cat for such a high price.
I know, you just got to pay the mortgage now.
Got to cover that. Got to cover that amount.
Well, Simo, I mean, it's a magic cat. Maybe selling it could put a curse on this woman.
Ooh, you reckon?
The second she sells the cat, she'll lose her apartment.
You can,
and maybe the owners will inherit the apartment. Maybe it's just the cat owns the apartment. It's not magical.
Well, it's worth mentioning as well. That's probably why she's framed it, that she wants to share its magic with others.
So she doesn't put a curse on herself.
so it doesn't fall back on herself. So it's worth mentioning as well. Any magic thing ever, right? Genies, that's the main one that comes to mind.
Well, I mean, Harry Potter.
How many wishes does a genie grant?
You get three.
Yeah, and so far she's used three from the magic.
She's used all the magic out of the cat.
She might.
What a selfish person.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, look, this is a tough one. I don't want to bring down the mood.
Right, okay.
But I fear I may be about to. God, look at this acting. This is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you're really dragging this out.
I know. Well, Simo, it's been an emotional day.
Yep.
Simo, you know that I am a fan of Arsenal Soccer Club that play in the English Premier League.
Yeah, Gunners, yeah. They play in the red kit. They kick the ball around quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Certainly better than Liverpool this weekend.
For those that are a fan of the English Premier League.
But no, Simo, it has been a sad day because Arsenal have announced that their mascot has had to leave the club.
I saw this. Isn't it tragic? He's such a sad boy.
It's due to coronavirus relations reasons. Obviously, no crowds are coming to any of the games. Therefore, they don't need a mascot to pump up the crowd. So sadly, Gunnosaurus.
That's right.
Because Arsenal are nicknamed the Gunners.
Yes.
And then the mascot is a giant dinosaur.
Not just
for
that.
Some reason.
He's a giant green dinosaur in a red shirt with a, what do they call them? One of those shirt guns? What do they call them? The ones that shoot the T-shirts at people?
Oh, like a T-shirt gun.
Yeah.
Does he have one of them?
He's got one of them.
I wouldn't trust a dinosaur, because he's a T-Rex as well. They only have little arms.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. Yeah, that's a bit.
How does he trigger it?
I don't know.
It's got to be a custom T-shirt launcher.
Yes. Maybe just leave that for the humans walking alongside Gunnosaurus.
It does make things tricky for whoever was the mascot. Or, like, where does Gunnosaurus go to from here? Like, what jobs can he pick up?
Well, Simo, it's interesting because you've looked at what other jobs he can bring up, and that's kind of where I wanted to go with it.
Yeah.
Because in the world of soccer, say, for example, a player may get bought and
that's
signed for another club.
Yeah.
Gunnosaurus is a free agent.
He can go wherever he wants.
Simo, you and I don't have a soccer club that we own.
That's right.
But...
Oh, could we? Could we?
Put in a bid for Gunnosaurus. I've got $10 in my wallet.
That's great.
I don't know. We'll just get the costume shipped over, get the guy, quarantine him, do all that sort of stuff, and then we'll have our own giant inflatable dinosaur.
Brilliant. Well, that guy, he's if he is going to try and get back into the workforce in other gigs, that resume, just what experiences have you got?
Walking around in a giant dinosaur costume that I couldn't see out of. For 27 years as well, this Gunnosaurus has been at every Arsenal game.
So that guy's had 27 years experience.
I don't know if it's the same guy.
If it is.
He might have taken a holiday or might have just gone, oh, not today.
He's gone into retirement. Gunnosaurus is on the beach in Greece, probably putting the feet up.
Well, wow.
Sayonara, my friends.
However, Simo,
there
is good news at the end of this story.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because a GoFundMe page has been set up to save the Arsenal mascot, Gunnosaurus. And it's already... I just like saying the name, Gunnosaurus.
It is thoroughly enjoyable.
It really is.
Mm.
See, if you're feeling down at any point today, Gunnosaurus. Oh, I'm happy again.
Yeah.
And $14,000 so far has been raised to try and save the mascot.
That's not bad. That's decent.
So fingers crossed that all is saved there, and fingers crossed no other mascot gets the chop.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember... Don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.